It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for April 22nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week, the annual RSA Cybersecurity Conference is happening in San Francisco. As conferences go, RSA hasn't always been a big contender. A few years back, there were questions about whether it would continue to exist. Then came the Target hack and Sony hack, Home Depot, the Syrian Electronic Army. The list continues, and so does the conference. This year, it might be bigger than ever. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood joins us from the floor at RSA. Hi, Molly.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. It seems like there is a lot of action happening in the cybersecurity space, and I would imagine that wherever you're standing, you can see evidence of that right now.
This conference is really interesting this year because it's not the kind of conference where hackers come and present exploits. It's more of a trade show where security-related companies try to sell their product to companies who are looking for security protection. And right now, that's every company. Every company is in essentially a naked, sweaty panic about cybersecurity.
What is the theme of RSA this year?
It's very interesting because the new president of RSA gave the opening keynote Tuesday morning and flat out said, "We are losing the battle. Security has failed." If there is any theme, it's, okay, now what?
I would imagine in that kind of environment, when everybody's talking about the sky falling, you might have some Chicken Little effect.
You know, if security right now is the Wild West, then people are definitely pulling up in stagecoaches saying, "Have I got the remedy for you?" I talked to Vikram Fatak, who's the CEO of a company called NSS Labs, and he said that when it comes to promises from various companies, things are getting possibly a little heated right now.
From a vendor perspective, they're all competing to be heard, and so the marketing can get more and more out there, and that's not always helpful to having a sort of an objective view of what's happening. So there does tend to be a lot more fear happening as a result.
NSS Labs actually just raised $7 million to produce this new product that will give companies kind of a dashboard that shows them how well their security products are performing. So if you're a big company or a small company or even a consumer, you can actually subscribe to this service and test all the different types of security you're running, see how well they're performing, and see what specific things might be a threat to your company, whether it's an outdated version of Flash or Java. So you can make changes, but you can also see how well companies are living up to their security promises.
Molly Wood, Marketplace Senior Tech Correspondent. Molly, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Speaking of the explosion of the cybersecurity business, the Department of Homeland Security announced at RSA this week that it would be opening an office in Silicon Valley. Why? Any startup could probably tell you. To compete for talent. The relationship between mobile video and police work is very complicated, and it's been around for a while. Remember the Fox show Cops that first aired back in 1989?
Bad boys, bad boys.
That reality show, filmed and edited from the perspective of law enforcement, still airs. And since then, there have been numerous cases where police brutality has been captured on film by bystanders. From Ferguson to Cleveland to Staten Island and beyond, the use of video devices is changing the way we think about law enforcement. And as Marketplace's Nova Safo reports, the spread of mobile video technology is also changing how law enforcement thinks about policing.
Mary D. Powers is 92 years old. She first became a watchdog thorn on the Chicago Police Department's side nearly half a century ago.
In the early days, people thought you were a kook if you were talking about police brutality.
She says smartphones and dash cams have changed that.
The public is certainly a lot more aware and a lot more acknowledging that some of these things do happen.
It's no surprise that Powers favors body cameras, but increasingly so do police chiefs. A recent survey found that many of the departments that have adopted them report a noticeable drop in complaints against officers.
So, I mean, certainly there are chiefs who see the potential here.
That's Brian Jackson with the RAND Corporation's Center on Quality Policing. He says there are a number of outstanding questions.
You know, what compromises to make between preserving privacy and increasing transparency, or recording more versus recording less, and the costs associated with that.
Cameras alone average $800 to $1,200 a piece, and then data storage can be in the millions.
When you're a department who's taking video, you know, a good chunk of every day, you know, the amount of that data just adds up very fast.
There's also the manpower costs. Different states have different privacy laws, but in all states, departments would have to comb through video to take out things they're required to keep private before making videos public, things like identities of kids. In Seattle, the police department is trying to avoid the manpower costs, at least, by automatically blurring its videos and putting them all online. Michael Wagers is the department's chief operating officer.
That's what we're trying to get to, is no one touches it. And you could be as transparent as possible, yet still protect the privacy rights of all these folks that you're going to catch up in the videos.
Wagers says people can still ask for non-blurry versions of specific segments of video, but the department hopes with the YouTube videos as reference, people will ask for minutes of video instead of hours.
I can't imagine anything like that in Chicago ever.
Mary Powers loves Seattle's idea until she sees an example of their YouTube videos.
There are two police officers in a car, and they're walking into some kind of business establishment.
I wouldn't know that unless you told me. I haven't even seen two bodies.
Seattle PD's videos are very blurry. The department says it's still honing the technology and hopes to eventually blur the videos less. But it's a work in progress, as are many body camera trials in police departments around the country. In Chicago, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And Twitter has announced it will allow expanded direct messaging between users this week, even those who don't follow one another, which has raised worries about harassment. Now the company says it will lock or delete accounts that run afoul of its expanded harassment policy. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.